Hi folks, it's time for another episode of the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast with all the latest news and reviews from the Haven. Faz and Stubbsy from Trust in Haven welcome you to this latest episode of our podcast by the Whitehaven Rugby League Independent Supporters Trust. Here we go.
Two, one. Okay, yeah, and we're back again with the latest episode of the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast. And if you're a Haven fan like me, the season just goes or gets better and better. Finished the season really as dare I say it, the form team. So Haven's season goes on and on. John is on today's podcast. I was like to have a couple of guests along. With us this afternoon is Tony Collier. Tony from Barrow. Tony does some of the match day commentaries on BBC Radio Cymru Sport. Don't think you've done Whitehaven this season, Tony, though, but you have several times over the past few seasons. So good to have you back on board, and look forward to hearing what you have to say. And also, big match tomorrow at the Shea. We're great to have along with us for today's Haven Rugby League Fan Podcast. We have Dave Durbin, who's the chair of the Halifax Supporters Trust. So thanks for joining us, Dave. Welcome along. Okay.
Pleasure.
Before we get specific, we'll just talk generally. The regular season's now finished for everybody. We're into the playoffs. I'll start with Tony. As a Barra supporter, as someone who's been on the board at Barra, you must be delighted with the way things are going at Craven Park this year, Tony.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, that everyone's very happy that Barra haven't been dragged to the playoffs, because everyone was looking at that with trepidation, actually, because in the first half of the season, Barra sort of did very well and were unbeaten. But in the latter half, we slipped up a few times. We got beat at Keighley. We got beat at Doncaster. We got beat at North Wales. And Workington came to Craven Park and got a draw as well. So we weren't in the best of form, to be honest with you. And a few people were a little bit concerned about what was going to happen towards the end of the season. And it was a bit between us and Workington, who was going to finish top until right till the very end. And we are absolutely delighted that we're not involved in the playoffs, because I don't think there's a big difference, actually, between the five or six teams that are left in the League One playoffs and any one of those. Well, there's Doncaster, Keighley, Workington, North Wales. Any one of those four now, I think, could get promoted. There's nothing between them, really.
Yeah. I think both the Championship and League One this year, Tony, the actual level of competition has been pretty good. On any given weekend, you really couldn't be too confident in predicting scorelines, and I think what you said just justified that. As I say, in League One, I think North Wales are the team that stand out as a team that's come with a bit of a run of form, a bit like Whitehaven in the Championship, really. What would you say, Dave, about this season's league competition? Would you say it's been a pretty entertaining season?
Yeah, I think the Championship always is. It's, it always seems to me a better stand. But then Super League does, eh? First of all, Tony, I'm pleased to see Barra back up. We always enjoy coming up to your part of the world. Looking forward to two trips up there next season. It's been very close, all through in both leagues. Very close. Although, having said that, obviously we've had Featherstone and Toulouse running away with it a bit in ours, but everything below has been very, very tight.
Very tight, yeah. Looking at both leagues, I mean, there's probably right up to last weekend, seven, eight teams in half the teams in Championship were playing for playoff places, and probably more so in League One. So I think it's been good because I think that certainly in Whitehaven's case, and I think it's a case of Barra and perhaps with yourself even, Dave, the Gates have actually held up quite well this season, whereas in Super League, I think they've struggled with Gates. I think people have come out and supported the Championship in League One, perhaps better than could have expected given the circumstances.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think certainly our last few games, Paul has been there. Start of the season, the prediction was we'd finish seventh. So to finish third, we've had from our point of view, we've had a very good season.
That's right. That's right. Probably come on. What about you, Tony? What's your thoughts on the way the season's panned out, and I say spectator interest in particular, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we shouldn't underestimate the impact that COVID's actually had, Dave, because the season in League One, if you remember, didn't actually start till May. We played Oldham in the Challenge Cup in March, and then we had to wait about 5 or 6 weeks before the actual league season started.
Yeah.
And there's been all these protocols in place, and of course, quite a few matches have been postponed. We didn't play Workington away, for example. Probably glad that we didn't, but that was postponed, and I think that had a big impact. And I think Barrow have been very good off the field. They've been very creative, actually. And
they have, haven't they? The beer garden that at Craven Park, it was the place to go in Barrow, wasn't it, during the summer?
Well, it was absolutely fantastic. Honestly, the board at Barrow and Steve New, chairman, have done an absolutely terrific job. And I interviewed him the other week on the local radio station, and he told me that turnover had increased from $600,000 to almost £2 million as a result of all of those initiatives that have been undertaken on the pitch. And there's still more to come this year. They're having an Oktoberfest, for example, like a beer festival. And there's over 2,000 people going. I mean, it's incredible. And it was always an issue, Dave. The utilisation of all our rugby grounds at clubs like Halifax and Whitehaven, you've got to try and find a way of utilising them. And I think Barrow it's not perfect, but I think they're getting there, and that will only bode well for buying the players that we need to be competitive in the Championship.
I was going to say that business have actually done with the beer garden, that must give them a nice sum of money in the bank they can use to support the rugby for 2022. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying that the millionaires or anything, but I think they're in a pretty good financial situation compared to a lot of clubs.
What's the situation? I mean, Halifax is one of the better supported clubs in the Championship, Dave. But has there been other things going on at the club during the 2021 season?
It's been very difficult. So certainly nothing in the stadium because it was council owned, or it is council owned, and we just weren't allowed in to do anything. So it's been very much to try and do stuff through social media in terms of what we've done as a trust. We took the opportunity during lockdown to launch a website, which was very successful in terms of selling merchandise and membership. So from our point of view, I think we've done reasonably well during lockdown to get to a situation where we are,
Excellent. Yeah.
I think the other thing just to mention as well for the listeners, Dave, is that there was also an initiative to allow people in the ground for nothing. If you turn up before 1 o'clock, and they encourage you to watch the Barrow Raiders ladies team, who have also integrated into this season, you don't have to pay to get in before 1 o'clock. And they've been getting crowds of about 2,000.
Yeah. Wow.
I'd say that's really sort of imaginative and quite sort of what's the word? Yeah, I suppose imaginative and innovative, that's the word I'm looking for. So way to run the club, and as I say, it's perhaps the way other given what we believe is going to happen in terms of the central funding, it's the clubs that do that are the ones that are going to have the best chance of prospering going forward.
Tony, can I just ask, do you own the ground at Barra?
Yeah, we do. I think we're one of the very few clubs, David, that actually do own our own ground. And
and
the board at Barrow can virtually do anything with it. Do you know what I mean? There's no...
There's nothing holding them back, yeah.
Well, the council have to give licence, obviously, to hold certain events. And you've got to have certain rules and regulations on noise and all that sort of thing. But... you know, there's advertising awnings on the outside of the ground, for example. I mean, Barra pulling thousands of pounds just through something like that, you know. So having your own ground is definitely a massive advantage.
It certainly is. Featherstone find that as well, don't they?
Good. I say things looking up with Barra and looking forward to 2022 when we'll be coming down the course for our derby games. Just coming to Dave, we've talked about the Barra season there. You've already sort of referred to the fact you finished third. You were expected to be mid-table. So just tell us a bit about this, how the season's gone with the Halifax Panthers. That's probably the first thing. What's your thoughts? I mean, they were the Blue Sox, I remember, a decade or two ago, weren't they? So the Panthers, what was the thing with that?
Well, it's about trying to attract the younger audience, isn't it? Yeah. Which we're all trying to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, the club came up with Panthers. The law was fantastic. We had a virtual Panthers walking around the Peace Hall in Halifax, which people thought were real. You know, with a lot of coverage through that. And it's been a very successful launch. And that has engaged a lot of the younger audience as well, which is what it's intended to do.
Yeah. So it does work for that. People can perhaps be a bit sort of, mocking about these things. But in terms of, Halifax Rugby League, the Panthers has definitely been a positive move for you then, eh?
Absolutely. I mean, you got coverage in all the local press and obviously on radio and League Express and all those papers. So, from that point of view, it's been very successful.
Yeah. So just in terms of the playing season, you've. I think early on in the season you were sort of down there, so mid table, weren't you, seventh? But you went on a good run, I think, mid season, did you not, to hoist yourself
to the table? Yeah, we lost one of the first games against Oldham, and of course everybody's saying sack the coach, you know, it was Simon's first season in charge by himself. You know, he took over a team from Richard Marshall. And had half of that season. So this is his first season in charge on his own. And to get us up into third, you know, a bit like yourself, you're on an excellent run at the moment. Is it nine games?
11 wins out of 13.
11, yeah. Well, we got up to 10, I think, 9-10.
Yeah.
And when you get on that sort of run, it really does get people behind you. And, you know... Yeah, that was fantastic for us, and that's what enabled us to get to the position that we're in now, you know, in third place.
Yeah. So, who's been the players who've stood out for you this season, Dave?
Well, you look at some of the lads who've come through the reserves. You know, the Elliot Morrises and you know, James Saltonstall, who's our top try scorer. You know, these lads that have come through the system. And in fact, we've got a lot of local lads in the team now, and that always helps and, you know, gives that bit of extra confidence and urge to do well. Tangata coming back. Yeah. You know, Adam's come back a different player this year. You know, when he went off to Wakefield, we thought, oh, well, okay, good, because he wasn't doing anything for us at the time.
Yeah.
and we didn't miss him, but he's come back and he's a different player altogether. Yeah. And you need that bit of grunt up front, don't you? You know, in all the games.
That's right. That's right.
He's and across the park, you know, yeah, we lost Scott Morrell, which was a big loss for us because he wasn't hadn't got the legs, but he got the brain still, you know, and
which you know,
really
him.
Helped us. Yeah, it was man of the match on many occasions.
Like that,
yeah.
So you've go on, Dave. Yeah, back to you. Go on.
Across the park, you know, everybody's stood up this season and have been counted, which has been good.
Yeah, I was
but like all clubs. I was going. Injury. Sorry, Tony.
No, sorry. I was going to ask you about that, David, about the loss of Scott Morrell. I mean, he was a big influence at Halifax for many seasons, wasn't he? And you say, he was losing his legs, so to speak. But yeah, he used to play with a dinner jacket on, didn't he?
Yeah. I think he must have picked up man of the match about half a dozen times to start the season. You know, he was that sort of player. And you missed that. And obviously, we brought in Liam Harris and Connor Robinson. Trying to do that. At that time, we had Scott Griggs in that position. And that worked well for and got us on the run that we were, you know, we were in. So that worked out quite well. And you've got likes of James Woodburn Hall at fullback. You know, was had a stellar season, really played well. Some of those lads have really stood up and been counted this year.
Very good, yes. Sounds very positive. So you were saying you had a bit of a shaky start to the season, Dave, as with that result against Oldham. But what's been the highlights of the season? What's been the standout games for Halifax this year?
Ooh, which ones? The close call ones, I think. We went on three where we won in the last minute, you know, Batley away and then another one at home. And my ticker was really getting some stress, you know, because they were all last minute wins, you know. But I think the fact that the team have put in a good stint all round and the effort that they've put in has really been the highlight for us because there's been a bit of pride in the jersey.
Yeah.
And that's what you need.
You were saying there, and I know for a fact because I've sort of followed it on your website. The fact that you've brought players through from the reserves, which I think the supporters trust as Halifax have been closely involved with over a number of years, that must give you a particular satisfaction.
Yes, it does. I mean, we supported the reserves for numerous years. We didn't pay all the cost of it, but we put in 20 grand a year roughly to help keep that going. Yeah. And at one time, I think we had about 8 players in the first team who've come through the reserves.
Good.
And, you know, unfortunately, looking at the turnover of players going into next season, some of those lads haven't quite made it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's about 4 of those already going. Sean Jones through continuous Nick Ralston, you know, came through from Toronto. He's had a few injuries again, and these are the things that tend to hold these lads back sometimes.
Yeah,
they don't get the crack whip, you know. But yeah, we're very proud of the fact that we were able to put that amount of players into the first team.
Good. Yeah. So, I was just referring to the relative form of both teams. Whitehaven have won 11 out of 13. One of the defeats in that time was a narrow defeat at Halifax in July. Can you remember that game?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think it was one of those that it was a real game of attrition, I think. And just managed to pull that out of the bag. So
I think Whitehaven were winning with about 12 minutes left to go, but Halifax just found that little bit extra.
I think that was a James Saltonstall try as well, I think. I think it was. Yeah, again, one of those that didn't do the heart any good because you come out of there thinking, how did we win that, you know? But that was the result.
Yeah, so
the team's been gotten through, you know.
So I'm going to say Sunday's game, but it's actually Saturday's game. Two teams very much on with a similar form guide. We've played each other twice. both we've won at home. So how do you see the game going on Saturday, guys? What do you think, Tony?
Well, the Whitehaven story has been absolutely incredible, Dave, isn't it? Because last year, when the season came to an abrupt end, weren't Whitehaven at the bottom of the league and sort of won a game or only won one game?
Yeah, they played Oldham and Swinton at home and lost both of them. So things weren't looking good. And, I think everybody looks back and think, the lockdown and everything wasn't good, but it probably gave Whitehaven a chance to regroup. I mean, I've spoke with John DeGoli, the assistant coach, on this podcast, and he looks back at that time that really took the lessons of that 3 or 4 week, sort of games at the beginning of 2020, and they set about rebuilding the side. With a view to making sure they didn't make the same mistakes, and how it's worked out. Yeah. What about yourself, Dave? What do you think about Saturday's game? What's your thoughts on it?
Well, if you go on form, it's yours, isn't it? But this is knockout rugby, and
we've lost the last three,
so
right.
We need to get it, but it is knockout rugby, as I say, and we should be confident at home, shouldn't we? So
home advantage should give you a bit of confidence.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It'll be a tough battle again, I'm sure.
Very tight. The winners go to Toulouse.
I think they go to Featherstone, don't they?
The winners go to Featherstone. Yeah, right. Yes, yeah. The winners go to Featherstone. I don't know. I think the runs both team are on probably breeds a bit of confidence, and that confidence could take them a long way. Who knows?
Yeah, I think so. I think. We don't mind going to Featherstone because we've actually beaten them there more times than we've beaten them at home.
Again,
it's a one-off game, isn't it?
That's right. That's something that gives you a little bit of confidence,
And I think from a Whitehaven perspective, Dave, you've got nothing to lose, have you? I mean,
no, absolutely.
You didn't expect to be in the top six, I think, is a fair statement.
Well, we played Halifax in our last...
Well, this is all a bonus, isn't it? I mean, you're in...
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think with the momentum that you've got and the sort of Gary Charlton moving upstairs factor and all that sort of thing, I think... I don't know. I think you can beat Halifax. Of course you can. You beat them the other week at home. But
I was going to say we beat them in our last home league game, and I think we deserved that win that day. But Halifax was certainly probably the best team we've played in the last month of the season. So take all that into account, and as I say, Whitehaven could win, but it's going to be awful tight game, I think.
I think
you guys know better than me, Dave, but Featherstone and Toulouse seem to be a sort of standard above everyone else. I mean, I might be wrong. I mean,
I
watch the highlights of Toulouse quite regularly. They are absolutely outstanding, and they beat Whitehaven. Was it 66-0?
Yeah,
at the recreation ground.
At the recreation, the last game of the lockdown. Yeah, yeah. So
Whitehaven have won leaps and bounds since that game. I mean, when you watched that game, you thought, So I don't know. I suppose the question for you two guys is, if you were to beat, the Toulouses and the Featherstones, would they let you in Super League?
Yeah, well, that's a question. That's a question that's being asked. But I think the door's open, isn't it? It's just out and go through it, And if you do it on the pitch, that's the way to to take that step through the door. So yeah, as Dave from Halifax says, they've got to give the winners they're just desserts, they're just reward. Yeah. So yeah.
Yes. I mean, you just mentioned about Toulouse, and I do remember that game now being standout because we were 30 odd points down at half time. Yeah. And came back to score 33. I think it's 33-36 in the end. We lost it, but certainly we frightened them. The only thing they've got again is home advantage, isn't it? It's in France, so we've never done well over there. Yeah,
difficult to go, especially at this point in the season. It's a cup final, isn't it, for them? And as I said.
I agree with Tony that they have been the standout teams this year, both of them. They've set the standard for the league, really. And if my head says I can't see a different final other than those two, but my heart says you never know
But everyone at Whitehaven, Dave, must be absolutely ecstatic. I mean, the way that you've turned the season around and gone on this run is fantastic, isn't it?
The town's buzzing.
Full credit, I mean, to go on that sort of run in our league is quite exceptional, really. And, of course, you did us a fantastic favour by beating Bradford. So, we always love that.
And yet you're 18-0 down, Dave, weren't you? And I thought, wow, you're going to get hammered here. And then suddenly it's 36-18 or something.
Yeah. And, of course, Avon did the same thing, didn't they? So that was very nice. Very nice. Have we lost him?
Just coming back there. Yeah. As I say, beating Bradford, that was Whitehaven's first win at Bradford since the 31st of October 1964. I mean, I was at infant school then. That's how long. And it was the first win of any sort over Bradford since Easter Monday 1971. So it's been a long time coming. That.
I've actually lost your picture, Dave. I've got a West Cumbria Masters logo on the screen. There you go. Oh, you're back. There you go.
So as I say, Tony's referring to what's happened at Whitehaven, the interest in the town. So tomorrow there's going to be something like 5, maybe 6 coach loads of Whitehaven supporters there. There's like 300, maybe even 400 people going in cars or whatever. So what sort of gate would you expect tomorrow, Dave, at this year?
What sort of gate was it, did you say?
How many speckies would you think be in tomorrow?
Well, we had 2,000 at the last home game. And so if you're bringing that many down, you're looking at a good 2,500 probably. On tomorrow. If they're coming into the south stand, there's the bars are open, there's food stalls, there's a singer on. There's activities going on as well. So if there's kids coming down as well, there's face painters. So there's a bit of activities going on to help you enjoy the day.
Brilliant. Yeah, well, as I say, it's just over, it's getting ever nearer, just over 24 hours away. And as we say, there's a case to be made for either Halifax or Whitehaven winning. So we'll look forward to the game. It's on Sky Television at 5:30, and we'll be watching with bated breath. So may the best team win, but I'd like to think that'll be Whitehaven. But anyway, may the best team win. Thanks to Dave for joining us from Halifax. All the best on your season, and as I say, let's hope it's a good game tomorrow. Thanks, Tony, for joining us as well and giving his considered opinion. Thanks, guys.
Very much, Dave.
And
Pleasure, Dave.
Yeah, we'll look forward to speaking to you at some point in the future. So thanks very much, guys. Thanks for now.
Okay.
Yeah. Pleasure. Well, see you next season.
See you then.
Well, folks, that's all for another episode of Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast. Produced by Trust in Haven, the Whitehaven Rugby League Independent Supporters Trust. Hope you enjoyed it and will join us for our next podcast. To find out more, visit our website at www.trustinhaven.com.